there is one who is mightier. They come looking for him. Family, familiar faces, expected connections. But Jesus points beyond the natural, beyond heritage, beyond blood, and he redefines belonging. Whoever does the will of God is family, not by blood, not by proximity, but by surrender. There is one who is mightier.
Many of us used to sing a song in church years ago. It was written in 1970 by Bill and Gloria Gaither called The Family of God. You remember that? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus. And we used to sing that song because it identified us. It gave us a sense of courage and encouragement that we are a part of something greater. We're a part of God's family. If you're new to church, maybe you've wondered why it is that Christians refer to each other as brother and sister. Have you ever thought about that? Why do all the Christians call each other brother? Why do we call each other sister in the Lord? It's because there is a special relationship that transcends even every other human relationship. It is part of being in the family of God. This morning, I want to look at two things. Number one, how can I be a part of the family of God? And number two, how can I know it? We're finishing a short series in the Gospel of Mark. We're working through the first three chapters, and we'll conclude that series today. The series has been entitled Mightier. It came from a statement of John the Baptist who said, "After me, there is coming one who is mightier than I." And John said, "I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandals." It's a picture of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to the end of that series, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark one more time. Mark chapter 3. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse 31, a message that I have entitled, "Are You In or Are You Out?" Mark 3, beginning in verse 31, "Then his mother and brothers came, and while standing outside, they sent word to him, calling for him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Behold, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' Answering them, he said, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' Looking around at those who were sitting around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, this is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" Now, to this point in the Gospel of Mark, we've really been focusing on two primary things. We've been talking about the authority that we see in Jesus Christ. And we've seen Jesus has authority over demons. Jesus has authority over sickness. Jesus has authority over leprosy. He has authority over false teaching. He has authority over all. And we've seen that declared in everything that Jesus did, in everything that Jesus taught. We've also seen the misconceptions about Jesus from his foes, from his friends, and even from his family. The religious leaders were convinced that Jesus was a blasphemer. The scribes thought he was a guy who violated the Sabbath. The crowds were convinced that he's a miracle worker. His family was a little bit convinced that he might be crazy. And then that group of scribes from Jerusalem, they thought he was just demon-possessed. Ironically, the demons said he's the Holy One of God, and God the Father declared, "He is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this morning, I want to ask you the question, who is Jesus to you? We're going to look at this passage. It's an unusual passage. It sounds like Jesus is saying something negative about his family. Now, this is actually the second of two passages that Mark interrupts with the passage that we looked at last week. Two passages about those who were close to Jesus. So we see back in verse 21, the Bible says, his own people heard about this, and they came to take custody of him, because they were convinced that he was out of his mind. Jesus didn't respond the first time his family and friends came, but then they came back a second time. Mark refers to it now in verse 31. His mother and brothers, maybe overlapping groups, might be a different group this second time, but this time his mother and his brothers are there. They're not looking for him. They are calling him to them. They are summoning Jesus. And while he didn't respond the first time, this second time, Jesus responds. And it sounds like a really strong statement Jesus is making about his family. But remember the context. God loves the family. God created the family. First institution that God created, God blessed the family. God has high hopes for the family. God created the family to be the hope for our culture, to be the hope for our nation. God created the family to be the hope for the world. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus loved and supported the family. Do you remember in Luke chapter 2 where the Bible says Jesus submitted to his parents? Do you remember in Mark chapter 7 where Jesus criticized those who were circumventing the law to dishonor their parents? Or do you remember when Jesus emphatically taught about marriage as one man and one woman for life? Jesus taught against divorce. On the cross, Jesus looked down at his earthly mother, and though dying physically, he was concerned about her. Jesus loved family. And here, Jesus, in response to a calling, a summoning from his family, has some fascinating things to say about family. Jesus is describing a relationship that is deeper than physical kinship. To be sure, some of Jesus' family will eventually come to worship him. James, the brother of Jesus, the writer of the book of James, said in James chapter 2, verse 1, he is our Lord. Came to worship him as the Lord. So, to be sure, many of those who were part of his family, earthly family, came to worship him, but Jesus has some things to say about an even deeper relationship than an earthly family. Jesus is talking about a heavenly family. Scripture paints the scene in a very visual way. There's Jesus's mother and brothers, and note what the text says, they're on the outside. On the inside, sitting around Jesus, it seems to be in a circle around him, are those who were near him on the inside. Matthew says that Jesus motioned with his hand to the disciples who were there and directed a message at them. And then Mark says Jesus looked at them. It's a very visual encounter. You sense the motion, the tension that's going on in the story, and Jesus has some words to say about family. There are three groups in the story. I want you to see these three groups, and I want you to identify which of these three groups best reflects you. The first is there, we'll call them group one. I refer to them as the familiar. They are Jesus' mother and brothers who are on the outside but somehow believe they should be on the inside. They believe they deserve a backstage pass to Jesus' ministry. They think that they have authority to stand on the outside and just summon Jesus. He's going to interrupt whatever he's doing and come to them. And the text suggests we're just standing out here and we're calling for him. In fact, the text actually describes it twice. You see it in verse 31. by the narrator, and in verse 32, by someone who seems to have been dispatched by the family. Verse 31, the narrator tells us Jesus' mother and brothers were there. Verse 32 says, the crowd that were sitting there, and someone came and said to Jesus, as though Jesus might not have known, your mother and brothers are here. And you can see them outside. They're wondering about who Jesus is pretending himself to be. They're concerned, perhaps, about his psychological state. They're concerned about his physical health. And so they're wondering, does our relationship with Jesus make us part of his family? Does being akin to Jesus make you part of his family? We might think of it this way today. Does being born into a family of faith make you a Christian? Does going to church make you a Christian? If you had Bible studies in your home when you grew up as a child, does that make you a Christian? If you have a relative who is a faithful part of the church, does that make you a part of his family? In other words, is association with Jesus enough to bring me into his family? And Jesus is saying, that's not enough. Association with Jesus is good, but that doesn't make you part of his family. That's group one. They're the familiar, but there's a second group. Jesus' mother and brothers were on the outside, but on the inside was a second group, and they're the followers. Do you see them? Jesus is probably standing, and they're seated around him. In fact, the text actually refers two different times to their proximity. The Bible says that there was a crowd, verse 32, and they were sitting around him. And then now look at verse 34. Looking around at those who were sitting around him. And the picture that the text seems to paint is Jesus is standing and the crowd is there encircling him. They're nearby. To be sure, because they're close, because they have proximity, they believe that they have certain privileges. They heard Jesus. They maybe saw some things that no one else saw because they were right there when many of those events happened. They believe that their nearness earns them privileges in God's kingdom. Mark highlights the family, Jesus' mother and brothers, are on the outside. The crowds are on the inside. They're seated around Jesus. They're enjoying those privileges, but Jesus does not define his family by those who are seated there. Jesus doesn't say, everybody sitting here is part of my family. In fact, Jesus seems to distinguish between those who were there and how their lives were characterized. Jesus seems to suggest more than just proximity. They are in the room. They're nearby. They heard Jesus speak, but that did not make them part of Jesus' family. Jesus seems to be saying, you can be near me and still not be part of my family. You can stand close by where Jesus is being taught or even hear Jesus speaking, but being in the room does not make you part of Jesus' family. You might say today something like this, I'm in church. I do religious things. I listen to sermons. I listen to spiritual podcasts. I listen to Christian radio. I read the Bible. I serve sometimes. I'm nearby all of these religious things that go on, and all those things are wonderful, but none of them make you part of his family. You can be familiar with him, but not know him. You could even follow him, but not know him. Those are groups one and two. Jesus refers to a third. The first group on the outside, looking on the inside. The second group on the inside, looking at those who were on the outside. And Jesus refers to a third group. The crowd was sitting around him and they said, behold, your mother and brothers are outside. They're looking for you. And Jesus answered with a question. It's a hypothetical question he wasn't intending for them to answer. It was a question intended to evoke their thought. So look at verse 33. Answering, He asked. That's common to what Jesus did. He would often answer questions with questions. So answering, he asked, "Who are my mother and brothers?" Can you imagine Jesus sort of paused right there to let that thought sink in? Maybe those who were sitting there immediately felt a little bit proud of themselves, because maybe they were thinking, I know there's the mother and the brothers on the outside, but Jesus said, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And maybe for a moment they thought Jesus was talking about them. But Jesus went on, and he looked around at those who were sitting around him. Matthew indicates he motioned his hand and identified the disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And we find group three, they're the family. We find the familiar on the outside looking in. We find the followers on the inside looking around. And we find the family who are looking to them. Jesus distinguishes group three from the other two groups. They are distinguished by what they look like. Do you have a family resemblance in your home? If you were to see my father or my brother, if you looked at my brother Steve, especially from a profile, or you looked at my father, especially from 20 years ago, you can easily identify we're part of the same family. We look alike. We have distinguishing features that sort of set us aside. You really can't deny. If you're part of a Biles family, you have certain things that sort of set you aside. We resemble each other. Does it work that way in the Christian life? Do we look like a believer? Oh, I know we're different. We look different. We sound different. We act different. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about physical appearance. Are there things about us that identify us as believers in Christ? Jesus said, there is something that characterizes my family. Look at the last verse that Jesus said. Jesus asked the question, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And then he looks around at those who were seated around him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. I'm about to answer my question," Jesus said. "Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister." This group is identifiable. There's something about them that you can notice, you can see. They, Jesus said, obey my Father. Jesus' family is identified by their obedience. Now be clear, we are not saved by obedience. We obey because we are saved. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." You can identify those who are mine, Jesus said, by how they live, by how they act, by how they talk, by how they respond in various circumstances, by how they walk through difficult days. Jesus said, "You will know those who are mine." They're not perfect, but you'll know them. They're surrendered. They're committed. They are obedient. "Who are my mother and brothers?" Jesus said, "Those who do the will of my Father." So three groups: the familiar on the outside, the followers on the inside, and the family. Which of those three groups represents you? When you think about your life and you honestly assess your faith, your relationship with the Lord, how would you identify yourself? Are you part of those on the outside looking in, those on the inside looking around, or those who were part of his family looking to him? Jesus said, "Association with me is not enough. Proximity is not enough." Jesus is looking for something more. Earlier in the story, we saw how Peter and Andrew, James and John left their fishing business. Matthew left the tax collector's booth because a disciple follows Jesus. Jesus said, "Those who obey the will of my Father represent those who are part of my family." That's what it means to be in my family. those who belong to me, they look like me, they daily demonstrate their obedience so that our obedience to Jesus Christ is not a one-time event, it is a lifestyle, a consistent practice. Psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 8, the writer of Hebrews attributed it later to Jesus, "Here I am, I delight to do your will." I want to do the will of my Father, Jesus said. Jesus said in John 4, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." That's what a believer looks like. A believer looks like a life that is characterized by following Jesus. Look, attendance is good. Being born into a Christian family is a blessing, but those are not substitutes for knowing and following Jesus. You can know his people. You can know his word. You can hear his voice. But until you surrender to his will, you are not living as part of his family. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not even everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom." There'll be those, Jesus said, who call my name. They'll call out to me, "Lord, Lord," and I will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There was something about them, Jesus said, "I don't know who you are." John said it this way in John chapter 1, "He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, even to those who believe on his name." How do I know I'm part of the family? It's demonstrated by the way that I live. Mark says Jesus looked at them. Do you see the image there in verse 34? He looked around at those who were seated. And the impact of his rhetorical question is beginning to sink in. Who are my mother and my brothers? And Jesus said, "Everyone who hears and obeys the will of my Father, my brother and my sister and my mother." Look at verse 35. "Whoever does the will of God." I want you to just stop and focus on that first word, whoever. Whoever. Anyone living in sin, turning to him by faith. Anyone, everyone who does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Paul said it this way, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There's a whoever that identifies any who will come to him by faith. It is those about whom Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, the scripture says he's not ashamed to be called their brothers. Despite everything he knows about you, despite everything that you might have done, he still welcomes you. You can be part of his family. You can be part of this family, but you're not born into this family. You come into this family by grace through faith, and the evidence of that is seen in the way that you live. You look different, you act different, you think different because you are different. And all of a sudden, different people make a difference. That's the picture that Jesus is describing. It's God's plan that you and I are increasingly conformed to the image of his Son. Not do I do religious things, not do I come to church, not do I talk about certain things that might imply I know things about God, not do I know Scripture, but do you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Are you doing the will of the Father? The closest relationship you have on earth is no substitute for the spiritual relationship God offers you through Christ. Jesus said, "You can be part of my family." And the wonderful invitation is this: whoever does the will of my Father. So two things. You notice that a relationship with God is both exclusive and inclusive. It's exclusive in that there is only one way to be in relationship with God. Jesus said, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not multiple ways to the top of the mountain. If you want to have a relationship with God, there is one way that you do that. It is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. It is exclusive. It is also inclusive because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Two things. How can you be part of God's family? It's simple. By grace, through faith in Christ. Have you ever done that? Has there been that moment in your life when you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? That's the most important decision you and I will ever make. How can I be part of God's family? The second goes right along with it. How can I know? How do I know I'm part of God's family? Jesus said, you know because you live like it, because you look like it, because the way that you live, the way that you act demonstrates you are part of His family. So whether or not you grew up singing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, the good news is today you can be. The question is, are you in or are you out?